Rachel Y was a gifted composer and performer in her early 40s when she came to see me a few years ago. She had been a passenger in a car that had skidded off the road and into a tree. She suffered severe head and spine injuries and was paralyzed in her legs and right arm. She lay in a coma for some days, followed by a twilight state for several weeks, before finally emerging into consciousness. She then discovered that, though her intelligence and powers of language were intact, something extraordinary had happened to her perception of music, and she described this in a letter. There is before the accident, and there is after the accident. So many things changed. So many things are different. Some changes are easier to take than others. The most difficult one is the enormous change in my musical abilities and in the perception of music. I cannot remember all my musical abilities, but I do remember the fluency and easiness, the no-effort feeling in anything I tried to do musically. Listening to music was a complex process of quick analysis of form, harmony, melody, key, historical period, instrumentation. Listening was linear and horizontal at the same time. It was all at the tip of my fingers, at the tip of my ears. And then came the blow to my head that changed everything. Perfect pitch disappeared. I still hear and differentiate pitches, but am no longer able to recognize them with name and place in the musical space. I do hear, but in a way I hear too much. I absorb everything equally to a degree that becomes at times a real torture. How does one listen with no filtering system? Symbolically, the first piece I desperately wanted to listen to after I regained enough discernment was Beethoven's Opus 131, a four-voice, complicated string quartet that is very emotional and abstract. It is not an easy piece either to listen to or to analyze. I have no idea how I even remembered that there was such a piece at a time when I hardly remembered my name. When the music arrived, I listened to the first solo phrase of the first violin again and again, not really being able to connect its two parts. When I listened to the rest of the movement, I heard four separate voices, four thin, sharp laser beams beaming to four different directions. Today, almost 8 years after the accident, I still hear the four laser beams equally, four intense voices. And when I listen to an orchestra, I hear 20 intense laser voices. It is extremely difficult to integrate all these different voices into some entity that makes sense. In his letter referring her to me, Rachel's physician described her agonizing experience of hearing all music as discrete contrapuntal lines, being unable to hold on to the harmonic sense of chordal passages. Thus, where listening was linear, vertical, and horizontal at the same time, now it was horizontal only. Her major complaint, when she first came to see me, was of this disharmonia, her inability to integrate different voices and instruments. But she had other problems too. The injury had rendered her deaf in the right ear. She did not realize this at first, but wondered later whether it played a part in her altered perceptions of music. And though she noted the disappearance of absolute pitch right away, she was even more disabled by the undermining of her sense of relative pitch, her representation of tonal space. Now she had to rely on literal inaction. I can remember a pitch only because I remember how it feels to sing it. Just start the process of singing, and there it is. This reminded me of John Hull, a man whose book, Touching the Rock, describes how he lost his sight during middle age, and with it his once vivid visual imagery. He could no longer visualize the numeral three unless he traced it in the air with a finger. He had to make use of an inactive or procedural memory in place of the iconic one he had lost. Rachel found that if she had a score in front of her, it could at least provide a visual and conceptual representation of harmony, though this could not by itself supply the missing perception, any more than a menu can provide a meal, she said. but it served to frame a piece to prevent the music from spreading all over the place. Playing the piano, and not just listening, she discovered, would also help to integrate musical information, demands both a tactile and an intellectual understanding, contributes to the ability of quickly switching attention between the different musical elements, and thereby helped integrate them into a musical piece. But this formal integration, as she called it, was still very limited.